Hey guys, this is Carolyn from Homesteading Family. And before we jump into today's podcast, I wanted to invite you to a free four-part video series that I have that teaches you how to can. We go over the safety of canning, we go over the supplies and the equipment that you'll need, and then we actually get into the kitchen together and I show you every single step of the canning process so that you can follow along. There's free downloads, there's all the resources that you need to be able to complete the canning project all by yourself. So if you've ever wanted to learn how to can, or you just want to brush up on your canning safety, go to homesteadingfamily.com/podcast-canning. Again, that's homesteadingfamily.com/podcast-canning.
Hey, you guys, this is Josh with Homesteading Family, and welcome to this week's episode of the Pantry Chat Food for Thought. We've got an exciting guest today, John Brazidis with Baker Creek Seeds, and we're going to talk GMO seeds, the Baker Creek Norfolk issue. For those of you familiar with the purple tomato and the brand new introduction to genetically modified seeds into the home gardener market. And more importantly, we'll talk a little bit about what the problem with that is, but more importantly, what Baker Creek is doing to keep GMO out of the home gardener seed market and what you can do as well. So looking forward to that conversation. For those of you that are not familiar with Baker Creek Seeds, their mission is to provide the seeds of a sustainable food supply for everyone and keep their heirloom varieties alive for future generations. They believe that farmers, gardeners, and communities have the right to save their own seed and in so doing preserve seed diversity and food security in an age of corporate agriculture and patented, hybridized, or genetically modified seeds. All the seeds they sell can be saved, shared, and traded. And they encourage people to save their own seeds. I love that. How many businesses sell you something and then tell you, hey, go reproduce it yourself? That is freedom for us and a wonderful mission. I'm very, very thankful for Baker Creek. They got us started with heirloom seeds, I don't know, 15 or more years ago. I think back 2007, 2008, when we took the plunge, Carolyn and I. And at the time, it was kind of scary. Now, I wouldn't go back, and I want to find out what we can do to prevent, if we can, getting genetically modified seeds into our gardening seed bank. We've got to try to avoid that. So anyways, let me bring John on, and let's dive in.
It's a pleasure to be on the Pantry Chat with you, and a big fan for a long time, and really just appreciate the opportunity to talk to you.
Oh, absolutely. Well, likewise, you know, like I was saying, we've been hanging out with Baker Creek for a lot of years informally, and you guys have been supplying our garden with seeds, and we're thankful for the work you've done to just, I mean, in the beginning, it was just a lot of education too. I imagine you still do that, but you know, you guys educated us on the problem with, you know,
it's
hybridized
a big part
seeds.
Of what we do still. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we need people to understand and realize. Yeah, so absolutely. Before we get into the issues, just tell me a little bit about what you do at Baker Creek.
Yeah, I've been with the company for about 15 years now. So right around the time, Josh, you would have started buying seeds from us. I've been there. Started out building chicken coops, and now I'm the general manager. So it's been a wild ride.
Wow.
I kind of came up with the company.
Yeah.
And it's certainly a passion of mine, you know, since I was a little kid on my family's farm, growing stuff organically and sustainably has always been something near and dear to my family's heart and my own. And as I grew older, it's really become a mission for me as well and my family. So it's just a pleasure to talk to folks like you who feel the same way.
Yeah, very, very cool. Well, that's neat. You've gotten to grow with them over the years, and that's got to be a cool journey. So for those of you that aren't familiar, there is a new seed called the purple tomato that came out just this late winter. It got announced for the gardener. That is a genetically modified tomato. It is the first vegetable that a gardener can buy, that's a home gardener, that's not a major agricultural producer, can buy, and it's getting put into the common garden market, right? Seed market. And at the same time, at nearly the same time, I think unbeknownst to Baker Creek, they had a tomato with some visual similarities, a slightly similar name, that they were announcing, that came out at nearly the same time, and that stirred up some issues. Can you give us just a brief, we don't want to dive into that too far, but can you give us a brief of what happened there?
Yeah, absolutely, Josh. And I think first time for everything, right? And this is the first time we've ever encountered a GMO tomato ever. You know, I never thought that would be a thing on the consumer market. I'm sure a lot of you didn't either. We had been working with a breeder for years who's a dear friend in Europe. And he came out with a tomato that looked very similar, but we thought, hey, you know, it's in Europe. GMOs aren't really allowed there. Let's go check this thing out. And we did. And we ran tests on it in Europe, and it came back GMO free from the tests we ran at the time. Got it back home to Missouri, grew it out on the farm, were then contacted by a company called Norfolk Healthy Produce that is the creator of the GMO purple tomato, saying, hey, this looks like our tomato. You know, at that time we were rather taken back because we had these tests. You know, we were really excited about it because it was something that we've never seen before. And we had them come out and collect samples of our crop just because we wanted to be sure that
so Norfolk
the tomato out? Was yes, absolutely. To our farm.
Good for you guys. Open the doors and say, hey, come on out and check it out and let's talk. I think that says a lot about Baker Creek.
We opened the doors to these guys. They came to the farm. They collected samples. They took them to their lab. The results from their tests were inconclusive. At that point, you know, we had already pretty much decided there's no way this thing's not GMO. It looks so similar. Can't be too careful, we destroyed the crop. So we're still in the dark of whether we had a GMO tomato or not. And with all caution in mind, we decided not to sell this tomato. It's too similar. We didn't want to waste our time with more lab testing. We didn't want to bring this thing to market. And we didn't want to fight about it either. And it's unfortunate because as gardeners, we were all very excited about something that looks so cool. It's my belief it probably was contaminated with the GMO gene. But I have no conclusive proof of that today. And neither does Norfolk for that matter. We just decided not to sell it.
I applaud you guys for that. I think that's wise, and just taking your hands off of it and just trying to remove the possibilities. You know, I know that's hard because you guys put a lot of work into it. And obviously the guy that developed that put a lot of work into it. And, I'm sure would imagine fully believed that, you know, whatever he had was non-GMO. So that's hard to step back from, but I really applaud you guys from stepping back and maintaining the integrity that you guys have set forth from the beginning to keep GMO out of, you know, I'll just call it the common seed bank, the gardener seed bank.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Josh. And it was not an easy decision to make. It's a first. It's really a first for us when it comes to tomato crops. You know, we're used to those common GM crops like beets, corn, sure, soybeans, et cetera. You know, we're used to testing those. We're not used to testing tomatoes.
Because it's not been an issue.
It's never been an issue before. And it's an issue now.
Yeah. So, well, thanks for that little backdrop. What's the problem with the genetically modified purple tomato? What does this mean? I mean, just, we know why we don't like GMO, most of us, and so we don't really need to go through GMO, non-GMO, and all that. But from that foundation, what does this mean for the home gardener? I mean, this is, what are the implications of a tomato now that is in the common market being sold that is genetically modified? What are the repercussions from your guys' point of view?
There's a few, and what it comes down to at a base level, besides the GMO point, are it's patented seeds. So these would be seeds that somebody has placed a patent on that you're not allowed to collect and save for the future. There's a lot of those out there already. There's a lot of patented tomato varieties. There's a lot of patented flower varieties, or you'll find in every category of vegetable, herb, and flower, you'll find patented varieties.
But those are hybridized, right? Most of those until now are hybridized varieties.
All of them are hybridized. Right. This is the first GMO tomato that is patented and GMO. And what this means potentially is pollen drift into your tomato crop, thus getting it, you know, mixed up with genetically modified genes, and then your tomatoes are all of a sudden genetically modified, and then you're infringing on a patent when you save those seeds. This could happen with any patented variety, but also now your tomatoes are GMO, and that's really an issue that an individual needs to, you know, decide how they feel about that personally themselves. Mm-hmm. In our eyes, you know, genetically modified crops are not researched well enough. They haven't been around long enough for us to understand the long-term implications of what those mean and what it means to the overall health of the individuals eating them, etc. It's a complicated issue.
Yeah. Well, we're with you on that as far as, you know, believing, you know, or not knowing. I mean, I don't see the good out of where GMO goes. We don't know. We don't have the testing. We're not that far in the future yet, but I don't see the good in where it goes. And unlike hybridized, you know, well, while we don't like hybridization, maybe from the sake of it allows large corporations to control seed, it is a natural process, right? People hybridize it. It has a place.
All the time.
It's not stepping out of the gene code. It's not stepping into manipulating kinds, if you will. And so while we may not like some of the business practices, the way hybridization's used and the constraints it puts on the common gardener to have access to a variety of seeds, I don't think it's the same thing as the territory we're now stepping into with genetically modified organisms and seeds, and those then spreading into the common seed bank. I think from my point of view, there's a lot of unknown danger in just what you're talking about in that spreading. This is just one. We're going to have more, I'm sure. And all of a sudden now you have these genetically modified organisms that can breed with non-genetically modified organisms, right? Is that?
That's exactly true. This is just the tip of the iceberg. You know, I think a lot of you have probably heard about the GMO petunia that's coming out. That's a flower. And to me, it's not as concerning as something that's edible. In the case of the purple tomato, that is a tomato crossed with a snapdragon. And, you know, a lot of people, when they're eating their tomatoes at home, don't think that they're eating a snapdragon, but that is the potentiality, you know, behind crosses with this particular GMO. It absolutely alters the genetic makeup of the plants you're growing. Right. And that is the issue. It threatens, you know, our right to food sovereignty, our right to the freedom to save seed, our God-given right to be able to keep these seeds and grow them again. It's a threat to all that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and our right to say we don't want something that's been messed with in this way, right? That's been touched, that's stepping out of the natural order. And I think that should be part of our rights as well, to be able to say no to that. You know, I mean, it just doesn't be able to choose what we put in our body, you know, regardless of what science or somebody else says, and this just like starts to blow that apart because it can spread.
Yeah, it can absolutely spread, and you could absolutely be growing it and not know it. Part of homesteading, part of the whole thing is getting back to basics, getting back to the old ways. And this is diametrically opposed to that ethos.
It absolutely is. I like to talk about going off grid, but it's not always the electrical grid first. I think we need to get off the industrial food grid, the industrial medical grid, the industrial educational grid. There's a lot of other grids I'm concerned about. Electricity, maybe one day, but I kind of like electricity right now. It helps us accomplish these other goals, you know.
Yeah.
But it's like, in talking about getting off the food grid and the different ways we do that, heirloom seeds being one of them, this just gets right in there and kind of upends that, or potentially does. And so I guess, you know, what do we do? And that's really the heart of today and the topic of what you guys do and have done for a lot of years and what I want to bring to people. And I don't want to get too downer. This is a reality. It's going to be obviously an ongoing conversation for years to come. But, you know, I want to talk a little bit about what can we do and what Baker Creek is doing. So what do you see for the home gardener? What can we do? The homesteader, the home gardener, what are our options? What do you guys recommend we should be doing?
You should absolutely buy heirloom open pollinated seeds, you know, regardless of the source. I work for Baker Creek, but there's a lot of really good companies out mm-hmm. there selling open pollinated heirloom seeds. And these seeds, you know, they're the stuff that works. They've been around for a long time. They're old. They're the seeds of our grandparents, you know, and there's nothing wrong with them. They're time tested and proven to be healthy, productive, good seeds. That touches, I think, Josh, on the safe seed pledge. There's a lot of companies out there committing to, it's called the safe seed pledge, and it acknowledges that, you know, agriculture and the seeds we have are essential to, you know, the survival of ourselves and future generations, and it's a commitment and a pledge by a company to say that we will never knowingly sell genetically modified seeds. We will sell seeds that are open pollinated and sustainable to support, you know, us now and future generations, and try to maintain those seeds as well at the same time. There's a lot of companies out there that have committed to the Safe Seed Pledge. If you just Google Safe Seed Pledge, you'll get a whole list of them. And
okay,
there's a definite value there. If you're worried about sustainability, if you're worried about the health of your family and your what you're putting in your bodies, that's something you should be interested in and looking at.
So the Safe Seed Pledge, is that the, I guess, safest way to help ensure that the seed producer that you're buying from, seed seller that you're buying from, is producing quality heirloom seeds?
It's tough to say, Josh. You know, the organization that created the Safe Seed Pledge they're no longer in business. You know, it was a nonprofit long ago, but the Safe Seed Pledge remains as part of their legacy. Yeah.
Okay.
There's a lot of really good heirloom varieties out there. I encourage people all the time to, you know, trade seeds with their neighbor, go to local seed banks, get the Seed Savers Exchange yearbook. There's a million varieties of seeds in there you can trade with people that are heirloom. It's a wonderful publication. Everybody should be part of it. You can share your seeds and buy seeds from others that are saving their own seeds. The Safe Seed Pledge is a good place to start, but it's not the be all end all of where you can get good seed from.
Cool. What do you guys do? And I think you guys have really led the way in not just breeding and educating about heirloom seeds, but doing your best to make sure that you're not getting GMO, you know, into your seeds. So can you help educate us a little bit about what you guys do to try to, you know, ensure that this isn't getting into what you're doing and selling?
Absolutely. So the process, unfortunately, is expensive and involves a lot of laboratory work, which we as farmers, you know, we're good farmers. We're not scientists, and we don't have the equipment to analyze all the seeds for genetic GMO contamination. So what we do when we get a crop that is subject to being threatened by GMO contamination. So we send it to a lab and they run an analysis on that seed. And unfortunately, it's at the cost of usually several thousand seeds from a lot of seed you get in. So this will be ran on corn, soybeans, sugar beets. And now tomatoes are going to be in question too. And this is going to come at a cost to the industry and a cost to consumers as well to find clean tomato seed. And I really hope it doesn't spread that far, but it's there's a possibility now.
So you guys are going to have to probably do more testing. That was kind of the next question is like, what do things look like now with this event happening? How does this change the business? And not just for you guys, just but you guys have really led the way. How does this change the business and what you're going to have to do?
It means we have to start testing tomato seeds for genetic contamination.
Yeah.
And that will come at a cost. And that's especially going to be a burden for your smaller local seed companies out there. It's unfortunate that we have to do so for one purple tomato that's not necessarily anything better or different than what you could grow already. So that's the reality as we stand today.
We've got to be aware that if we're probably going to have, like you're saying, it's going to affect us by cost. So you guys are going to have to test more. Other people are going to have to test more to just try to verify and keep, you know, this stuff out of the seed bank from the producer seller side of things. That's going to increase costs. And so as a consumer, one of the things we're going to have to realize is that we're going to have to help absorb that cost a little bit, I would imagine, if we value having these seeds that have been tested and maintained at this quality.
You know, one thing I tell people always about gardening, and we encourage seed saving. Gardening's supposed to be cheap. You know, it's supposed to be a cheap way to get healthy food for you and your family. Save your seeds. Tomatoes are, you know, typically harder to cross-pollinate than some other crops. If you know your neighbors or you're growing in isolated distances from others, you're going to be okay. If you're growing in close proximity to somebody, say in your backyard, you have your tomatoes and you can look over the fence and see that they're growing GMO tomatoes, you might be a threat. And that's a reality we all have to face now. Saving your own seeds is really the way to go for cost-effective, sustainable gardening. And that's what you can do with, or, you know, open-pollinated heirloom seeds. You can save them.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I love that. Thank you. Buy the best seeds you can and then start learning how to save them and save them locally. What you bring up a good point. What can you do if you got a neighbor that's super excited about something like this and is growing it and you're trying to save seeds. You're over next door trying to save seeds. Can we, you know, take a plant or two that we're saving seeds and kind of cover them? Can we do something like kind of like what you do, you know, with squash, right? If you're growing multiple varieties of squash and you're not wanting them to cross pollinate, can you do something like that to try to preserve your seed stock if you were to realize that you might have that issue?
You can cover your tomatoes. Sorry, Josh, I don't know why the connection's kind of fading out here. You could use something like Agribon to cover your tomato crop.
Okay.
And protect it from, you know, cross pollination. The seeds we sell are what you call open pollinated. So they're pollinated by insects, and bees fly where they fly, bumblebees fly where they fly, butterflies fly where they fly. So this is how cross-pollination would occur in nature. You can grow, I love growing inside greenhouses. Not everyone can afford one of those. And like I said, gardening is supposed to be cheap. So the best thing you can do is isolation distances. And generally that's sufficient for tomatoes. But you don't know. You don't know if your neighbor is growing that. You could cover your tomato crop with fabric, and be successful in getting a true, genetically pure crop.
Well, that's hopeful. There's some things we can do as we, and I think that's important is just to think about it. I think right now it's pretty small. I mean, it's big news, but I would imagine the scale, and I don't really know. I don't know how much of these seeds they're selling, how much they're getting into the market. I haven't really followed, like, did they make a big push to really get this out there? Do you guys know, is it out there a lot, or is it like, does it feel like a pretty small sampling right now? Do you know?
I don't think a lot of us are going to see it, you know, but it is available in farmers markets. It was last year. I believe it will be this year. I think we'll see more of the fruit than you'll see of the plants or people actually growing it. But I do, you know, I don't know how many packets of seed the company has sold. I don't know how many packets Norfolk Healthy Produce has sold to the public in general.
Yeah. Probably pretty small right now, but if this is going to be the future, then we're going to have to think through, especially for people that live in dense areas, you know, just how to take those measures to, you know, save seeds, select the fruit that's not contaminated, or try to control pollination a little bit. Seems like those are all proactive steps that people can take to help out. But I think the biggest one to me is, and you know, don't buy them, don't use them, and encourage, get educated and educate other people about the potential problems with this. And let's just try to minimize, hopefully, its existence. Right. And to me, and you know, I'm speaking myself here, not for Baker Creek, but, you know, let's not give them our money. Let's not send our money that way for seeds. That's the answer. That's what all of us as gardeners can do, is just say no. And encourage other people that
vote
may
with,
not know.
Vote with your dollar.
Yeah, vote with your dollar and educate other people. Maybe you already understand GMO, you know you don't want it. Learn a little bit more and talk to people about it and encourage others. That's the best way I can think of that we can help minimize that.
I think so too. And if you have a neighbor growing these things, talk to your neighbor, tell them about it, you know, educate them about it. There's a lot of people that just don't know.
Yeah.
You know,
well, and there's a lot of hype.
There's a lot of hype. It's cool, right? It's a purple tomato. It's cool.
Well, it's got all these extra health benefits.
There's a lot of,
it looks cool. It's more healthy. They're what I'm understanding, you know, but we can do that naturally, I think.
The tomato is very high in anthocyanin, so it's an antioxidant agent.
How do you guys feel about the future? What's your take? What are you thinking about going forward? You know, with this shift, what do you guys think about the future?
The future is still bright, you know, for the heirloom seed industry and those who want to save their own seeds and be sustainable. You know, we've been fighting GMOs for a long time. This is just another, I think, inevitable thing that was going to happen eventually. It's, in my mind, foolish and too quick to market.
I love that. I'm going to just pick up right there. John, don't go anywhere, but I'm just going to wrap up for us because our connection's bad. I want to get to talk to you before we go. But You ended with a great statement, and that is that the future is still bright. And something we try to do at Homesteading Family and the Pantry Chat is always bring a positive solution. There's always hope. There's always good action we can take and good things we can do. And, you know, this is something we're going to wrestle with. It's part of our new world. But there's a lot as gardeners, a lot as homesteaders that we can continue to do. There's a lot that folks like Baker Creek Seeds and other producers and sellers can do. And a lot of it is just know where you're getting your seeds, buy good quality, open pollinated heirloom seeds from producers you trust, and start saving your own seeds and encourage other people to do the same and not send their dollars over there. That gives us a bright future and gives us control of our food supply. So, I know we've kind of broken up here. I just want to thank John for coming on. I want to thank Baker Creek Seeds, who has been a leader in this area for well over 15 years, maybe longer. I don't know when they started, but I just want to thank them, encourage you guys to check them out. And you can check them out at rareseeds.com. You can also just look up Rare Seeds on Facebook. Get a catalog. They've got a wonderful catalog. And of course, go visit them They're not just a seed producer. They've got a really, really neat place. They've got a really neat place there in Mansfield, Missouri. I got to go there about 6 years ago and get a tour, and had a great time. They do a couple festivals too, one there, one out in California, and check them out. But also go find your local producers as well in your region. I love Baker Creek Seeds, but I also always encourage people to find seeds locally from local producers. And then, of course, share and save and swap seeds. That will help us all maintain good control of our seed bank and, help us keep big ag and some of that technology that we don't want out of our food supply. So it's been great hanging out with you guys today. I hope you have a wonderful day, and I will see you soon. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Pantry Chat, Food for Thought. If you've enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, rate, and review.
To view the show notes and any other resources mentioned on this episode, you can learn more at homesteadingfamily.com/podcast.
We'll see you soon.
Goodbye.